We learn this week, Newsman, that we'll be doing a postal vote on the issue of same-sex marriage.
Yeah, it's going to cost over $120 million. It's divided the political bigwigs in Canberra, but yeah, it's a way of deciding it. I reckon I'll be voting yes.
It's the whole thing has led to an interesting topic of conversation, which has been popping up on some sites around the place. You know, serious issue, but perhaps taking a light, more of a lighthearted look at it. Let's think about the times that votes didn't go to plan.
And I'm sure that's happened a lot. Tell us about it.
Well, it has happened a lot. There's quite a list. We'll try and get through a couple of these. You might even decide that actually that was correct. Like, for example, supposedly, a story floating around that it was an outrage, apparently, when Guy Sebastian got more votes than Shannon Noel in the Australian Idol show.
How have they decided that? They just...
I don't know. I guess whoever was reporting this felt like Knowlesy was the deserved winner, and that, you know, there's a bit of support for that theory. I don't know.
Well, I guess if you look 10 years down the track, I think the voters got it right.
Yeah, true. Can't argue with that. But there's a whole list of times when votes were put to the public, and the result was a little surprising, to say the least. And there's some actual crackers here as well. Like, how was this one? Taylor Swift, musical pop star, set up a contest to perform at a US school, whatever US school that earned the most votes. Now the vote got a little bit hijacked, and the school that ended up winning was the was Boston's Horace Mann School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. So they basically conspired to send her to a place where no one would be able to hear her performance.
I'm sure they appreciated it though, and they can appreciate a concert like that. But yes, a bit of sense of humour by someone contriving or manipulating the results, it sounds like.
Yeah, backfire. What about the website set up a vote to pick the destination for Justin Bieber's My World Tour? Guess what country won?
Syria? What was it?
North Korea.
They probably love him over there.
Well, they wouldn't know who he was, would they?
Oh, nah, they will in about 15 years, probably.
All their music is produced by Kim Jong-un, and all their movies.
He's in the top 10, did you know? Nine of the top 10. Yeah, and the other one's dead.
I actually believe that. A lot of these ones are music ones. We'll get to some other funny ones in a sec, but while we're on music, Pitbull, another, you know, chart-topping artist.
Thanks for
the modern
filling
day.
Filling me in, I didn't know. Yeah.
Online poll to decide, you know, he was going to go and perform at a Walmart. Obviously, it is in the US. Whatever Walmart store got the most votes, that's where Pitbull was going to go. So a few troublemakers got onto this one. The store that ended up winning was in Alaska. It's the most remote Walmart store in the country.
And did the concert occur?
Yeah. Well, I should have mentioned the Bieber one didn't go ahead. He didn't go to North Korea. But Pitbull went to Alaska. Now, these are some good ones. 2007, Greenpeace found a pod of humpbacks migrating to the South Pacific. And they set up a vote to name the whales. There was a few options. Well, there was a few contenders. Aurora was popular. Libertad was popular. ACO was also popular. None of those won, though. The winner, with whopping 78% of the vote, Mr. Splashy Pants.
I've heard that one, yes. That's great.
That is a winner, isn't it?
Yeah. And that was kept, maintained?
Yeah, I think... that's what they named the whale.
Mr. Splash, yeah.
Similar to just in more recent times, UK Polar Research ship. What do we call it, they wondered, the people who built it. Put it out to a public vote in the UK. Winning name, Boaty McBoatface.
Yes, I've heard of that one too. That's
Well, that one was...
memorable, yeah.
That was world news, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They rejected the will of the people on that one.
Aww.
And this could happen with the postal vote as well. It would be non-binding. So, you know, they're not bound by it. And in this example, people said Bodie McBoatface, and the authorities, whoever they were, said, nah, we're not naming it that.
Do you think that's why they've gone postal, not online? Because it seems that online can really be compromised, whereas you can't really, I don't think, mess up the post these days, but could be wrong.
Well, I think if there's anything to be learned from this, it's that anyone can mess up anything. So there's no guarantee. Once you start that vote process, you've lost control. Anything could happen at that point.
I've heard a lot of hacking stories where a lot of the polls you see on TV, political ones and such, and you always wonder, why? How can they have that many votes and it's like 49 to 51%? Mm. And that, yeah, hackers are in there just somehow, shooting off votes that just happen simultaneously, so you get a sort of 50-50 all the time, just therefore making the result pretty useless.
I think a lot of these is just organisation as well. I mean, a lot of these, there's a big online, you know, there's a big site, Reddit is one of them, and they become just an army of troops ready to deploy wherever they're needed. As soon as someone whips up a thing, hey, let's all jump on this. There's like millions of people in these communities, and they just overwhelm whatever they decide they want to.
It reminds me of the first issue you brought up, the guy Sebastian.
The outrage.
Yes, and I remember because he was a member of the Paradise Church, a huge church in Adelaide's northeastern suburbs. Mm. They all got behind him, and a church community promoting one of their own would have very powerful links and would have punched out thousands of votes for guys.
Yeah.
So.
But shouldn't have Shannon Noll been able to round up the crazy horse community? Like, they would be a force to be reckoned with, wouldn't they?
I reckon they'd be harder to rally.
Yeah.
They're generally fairly distracted at that time of night, possibly.
Yeah, they're disorganised. They're more of a mob. But back in Australia, we all remember when Vegemite were coming up with a new product and they, you know, put it out to the public. What will we call this thing?
Mm.
Came back as iSnack 2.0.
Yeah.
And the guy who suggested it later said he meant it as a joke. But they used it. Mm-hmm. It was not popular. And then they later changed it. So, I mean, you can vote on something and you can go ahead with it. But, you know, are we just going to undo it later?
Yeah. What is binding? So election results are binding. That's about it. If you head online, web guy, it's pretty liquid. It's pretty fluid.
Oh, yeah, it's an absolute, it's the wild west out there. And I put it to a vote at your own peril.
It's a bit like the poll for this podcast we put up. You know, how many people would like it to continue?
Mm-hmm.
Results didn't go our way, but we're still doing it.
And that was extra weird because we were the only ones who voted.
I got to have a word with you after this, Tim.
Marcus, you are a news beast.
Thanks. I'll go with that.
But I do know this about you. When you're not breaking stories, which is most of the time, one of your great loves, I think I'm right in saying this, is cinema.
I think you're right. I probably don't go to the actual cinema that often.
No.
But I love bad movies on TV.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time at home these days, so love the old kitsch movie on, whatever channel, whatever night. I love it.
I was trying to pretty it up by saying cinema, but you love movies.
Yes, that's it.
I love movies. We're not movie aficionados.
No.
But we like them. Mm. We watch them. Viral story this week about some of the glaring plot holes. You know, those parts of movies that, if you just stop for a second and think back, make zero sense. Some of those that have been spotted in, you know, some of the most famous movies ever. I know a few of these on the list are probably top 10 favourites of yours.
Right. Oh, this is going to be... I'm going to have mixed emotions about this because, number one, I love retelling these stories while watching a movie, much to the annoyance of other people watching the movie.
Yeah. Spoiling it, basically.
Pretty much. But also, it spoils the movie for me from that point onwards because perhaps it's something I haven't seen before. that I've overlooked, and from that point onwards, I'll always watch the movie and go, how did that happen? But anyway, go on. I would.
Don't let it spoil it for you, though, because while these are plot holes and don't make sense, you can always explain it away.
Okay.
You know, you can find the plot hole, but then you can always find a reason why, you know, it's not a plot hole.
Okay.
So maybe even decide if these are actually even plot holes. They've been proposed that they are, but you might not even think they are. Anyway, I know this is a favourite of yours. Movie called, just a little movie that came out in the 1980s called Back to the Future.
Ah, yes, time travel always has debates around what the hell is going on. But go on.
Yeah, so, and I'm a bit fuzzy on the exact plot of the movie, but I guess at one point, Marty, Michael J. Fox,
yes,
has to make sure that his mum and his dad end up together rather than his mum and himself.
Yes, so he goes back into 1955 and his mum takes a bit of a shining to him instead of his dad. So,
yeah.
He has to engineer a new scenario where they meet and fall in love.
Yeah. So then the plot hole is, back in, you know, present day, how do his parents have no memory of this kid who helped, you know, get them together and happens to look exactly like their son?
I do have an argument for this.
Okay.
Well, I think it's based over a week, his time in 1955.
Okay.
Would you remember a character in your... some that's had an input in your life for 1 week? I don't know.
You're prosecuting your argument like a lawyer. I love it.
Well, I just figure that obviously it was a significant point, but in 30 years your memory fades of how, you know, some fella helped us.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a big difference in time.
All right.
So I'm shooting that one down.
Yeah, you've explained that one.
Mainly because I love the film.
No, I think that stacks up. What about this? Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm. Now, the movie's set in 1936. And the person who spotted this says, well, the fact that it's set in 1936 means there's a huge plot hole here because why is there a Nazi base in Egypt with tons of soldiers and aircraft? They're all digging for the Ark of the Covenant in Egypt, when in 1936 Egypt was essentially a British colony.
Right.
Where have all these Nazis come from? Did you like Indiana Jones?
Yeah, I love those. Mm-hmm. Love those movies.
Yeah, okay. But it sounds like you're willing to concede.
Yeah, that. No. If that's the history books saying that, I'm willing to.
All right. We've mentioned this movie moment before. It's an all-time classic movie moment that, you know, almost everyone loves. The moment in The Shawshank Redemption when the prison boss is in the cell, the guy's escaped. How the heck did he get out of this cell? We locked him in here overnight. The door never opened up. How did he get out? Throws a rock. The poster and the little, you know, glimmer of daylight behind the poster.
Little tinkling of the stones hitting the pipes. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And exposes the tunnel that Andy had dug out of the prison.
Most famous scene of the movie.
Iconic. Now, potentially two problems with this, according to this film buff, and he's not sure which one is less believable. One, the fact that Andy's first instinct after decades of captivity, he finally gets out. First thing he does is just neatly reattach the poster to the wall. And
how does he do it?
And yeah, link to that. How did he even do it from inside the tunnel?
Yeah. Well, you could definitely attach it at the top and just pull it up like a blind. But no, yeah, that's a fair argument.
I think you could have an explanation there, though. The other one could be that he practiced it a lot of times.
Exactly. And why did he do that? Because it buys him another couple of hours, I guess.
Oh, well, genius move, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
He had to do it. So, yeah, I can understand that. E.T.
You can't ruin E.T. Go on.
Speaking of iconic movie moments, when E.T. and the kid are flying across the sky on the bike, you know, in front of the moon.
Uplifting, like, emotional.
One of the most famous movie images ever.
It's even like a sort of font for a movie brand, isn't it? Or
I think you're right. Plot hole, though. Plot hole alert.
In a movie about an alien? Plot hole.
If E.T. could do that, you know, flying through the sky on the bike, then why, at the beginning of the movie, when he was being chased by government agents, did he not fly away then?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Did it have to do... Have you seen it?
I've seen the movie, yes.
Yeah. Did it have to do with... he seems to grow stronger when his alien ship is closer and he's...
Oh.
So, because you know how he almost dies?
Yeah.
And the ship's on its way and he's like, E.T., I'm back.
Okay.
He didn't say bloody.
That was in the Australian remake. Struth!
Struth! The blokes are coming. Going back to me old hole to live.
With Shazza.
Okay.
I think this is another one up your alley. Batman.
Ooh, which Batman?
This applies to every single Batman movie ever made.
Yep.
Now, this movie sleuth has remarked, it's quite incredible that Bruce Wayne manages to keep his identity secret, Bruce Wayne is Batman. Amazing he's kept that secret, considering how many contractors he's employed over the years. Because who built the Batcave?
Yeah.
Who built the Batcar? The Bat Place? I'm not even sure what that is. Because, you know, Alfred and Bruce, you know, by themselves, could not have, you know, built that stuff, let alone sourced the materials. You know, they needed help at some point. And what, they have all just kept the secret all this time?
Well, yeah, there's a hole there, but we don't know. They might have a really good
confidentiality
clause.
Mm-hmm.
With a really exclusive company. I don't know. Fair enough.
Maybe he everyone that he gets in to do work with them, he then kills them afterwards. Seems
possible as well. Yep.
Seems plausible to me. You remember that movie Speed?
Yes.
Now, apparently the bomb armed itself once the bus reached a certain speed.
Mm-hmm. 80 miles? No, that's Back to the Future.
Well, I think, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, it gets to a certain speed.
It gets to a certain speed and it's and arms, apparently.
Oh,
and
I thought
it gets to another speed and it blows up.
Yeah, right. So you can't go too fast, you can't go too slow.
Yeah, early in the movie, Keanu Reeves is trying to tell the bus driver, Sandra Bullock from memory, to pull over. You know? So here's the plot hole. In reality, anyone who isn't a moron, especially a trained police officer, would have immediately pulled his firearm and shot the tires off of the bus. So the bus would have never got to the speed it needed to for the bomb to arm.
Ah, okay. Were all the police officers aware of the scenario? Or was that just between those on the bus and...
Oh, you know, that movie...
I can't remember.
That movie came out in 94, and I don't reckon I've probably watched it since then.
No, I watched it in the cinema, and that was it.
What about this? Here's just a generic...
I went to one in the cinema. There you go.
You are a lover of fine cinema.
Pulp fiction. No, what would it be?
Trash? Screen trash? I don't know.
Screen trash, yeah.
In every Christmas movie where Santa is real, you know how a lot of movies, you know...
He is.
The Santa is actually real.
Yes.
Now, in those movies, who do the parents think of putting the gifts under the Christmas tree? Because there is a real Santa out and about. What are the parents making of these? So he's obviously giving kids presents. How do the parents explain that to themselves?
Well, I know in most families these days, there's a spread of, these are from Santa and these are from Mum and Dad. But there seem to be a lot of presents under that tree. So, but why would you, if Santa was real? You wouldn't bother. You just go, let him pull the weight.
Well, yeah. But I guess in those movies, the parents are always like, no, you know, they don't think Santa's real.
But they still, yeah.
If I think from my point of view, if I woke up, if I put some presents under the tree on Christmas Eve, woke up Christmas morning, and there were extra ones under there, I'd never put there.
You're a believer.
I would think, That was weird.
Hmm.
Anyway, that might not be a plot hole. That might just be a weird thing. Similar to in ghost movies, you know, the ghost always just scrawls a message on a window or types a couple of words into a computer screen.
Yes.
Hey, if they can do that, why not just write the complete message and explain in full what the hell's going on?
Well, I know the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, it takes a lot of effort. You got to really focus your mind, focus all the anger to pressure to shove people. So,
yeah.
You know,
no, that's a great explanation.
So, you know, you're not going to waste all that anger and energy to type a nicely compiled email.
Yeah.
You just want to say boo or get stuffed or I know you did it.
Or someone's at the door. Yeah, no, you knocked that one on the head.
Well, there you go. They haven't ruined the films for me because a lot of it's just, you know, people with too much time on their hands.
On the internet? What are you talking about?
Well, that's the fun of a movie. If it was realistic, it's just life. It's just like
then
Tim went and got the milk out of the fridge, then drove to the shop, was confronted by a man, and he calmed him down. The end. It's not that interesting.
I wouldn't watch that. I probably wouldn't even listen to a podcast where they talked about that. News stories flying all over the place this week, Marcus, about the latest thing that's supposedly killing us.
Is it drugs? Is it alcohol?
They're both already on the list.
Right. Anything else?
There's standing up. We know is killing. I mean, sorry, sitting down and not standing up.
I've noticed in the office you like to stand up every so often just to.
Yep. Because I don't want to die, Marcus.
That's the conscious thing, isn't it? You get up to sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Keep you young and
yep.
youthful.
I stand on the train.
Do you?
Every time. Even though there's seats everywhere, I'll stand.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, I'm paranoid.
Is that true?
That's true. But anyway, I hate these stories because every day there's another thing that we have to worry about. This week, it's not getting enough sleep.
Mm. I think that is an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, heaps, apparently, and it's on the rise.
Yeah, well, I guess there's a range of reasons. People are stressed, people are busy, or people are just TV in the room. That can always put your sleep off.
Yeah.
Tell us more. Tell us more about this studies and research and articles.
Well, I don't know all the nitty-gritty, but it's, you know, it's not getting enough sleep is bad.
Mm.
Can be really bad, fatal.
Mm.
Somehow, I don't know. That sounds like just a gotcha headline, which somehow they can justify. But I don't know. Anyway, we can all agree it's not good for you.
Is it not? Yeah, I think a lot of people would not think, oh, it's not good for you. I think people would go, oh, well, I feel crummy without sleep.
Yeah.
But for people to say it's actually bad for your health,
yeah,
it really confirms it, doesn't it?
That is next level. I mean, why do we even sleep anyway?
I've always thought it's, I don't know, recharge the human battery and give time for the body to heal. And
yeah, that's what you hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
The body heals. So if you're not having that sleep time, your body's just in disrepair. It's like a beat up old shack that's falling down and needs some attention. So here's a couple of keys to this. This might happen to some people. This happens to me as a parent of a toddler who wakes up fairly regularly and at just unacceptable times of the night.
Oh, no.
How do you get back to sleep after you've been woken up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, it's that's one that I'm not too bad with, but I can imagine for some people it's once your mind's going, it depends how long I'm up for.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm up for more than, say, 30 seconds, yeah, it would be a bit of a struggle. But
so what, you're like once your lights are out, you're gone?
Oh, no, like if I get up, get a drink or
call
of nature, I'm pretty good at just going back and straight to sleep.
Okay.
Not, no good for you?
I would have thought I'm okay, but not sure why I'm still so tired all the time. But anyway, this is what you do to go back to sleep if you've woken up in the middle of the night. One, put the phone away.
Yeah.
It's obvious, but, you know, people have their phones glued to their hands.
Yeah.
To their heads.
Yep.
So
Because a lot happens on Facebook between midnight and 3 a.m.
Yeah, well.
Not.
Yeah, anyway. Here's what this person says. Middle of the night insomnia is a big one for me. I used to make it way worse by checking email. Who wakes up in the middle of the night and checks email? If you're doing that, well, no wonder your sleep is screwed. She reckons she's found a solution, and I'm not sure she has. She says, this is what she does instead of checking email. I listen to a meditation app on my phone. She's still using the freaking phone.
What, and the sort of soothing sounds will help her?
I don't know what's on the app. I guess it's soothing sounds. She reckons she falls back to sleep without even realising it. So she's still got the earbuds in. She's still got the phone probably on her pillow. It sounds like terrible advice to me. If meditating's good, why not just do that? What, you need an app? Well, don't tell me the you know, Buddha had an app. Like, what's going on here?
Oh, but it's cool. It's on the phone, so it adds cool value.
She's saying ditch the phone, and meanwhile, she's done nothing of the sort. So I'm not really down with that tip. All right, here's another one. How practical is this? Transform your bedroom into a quiet, dark sanctuary.
Oh, well, are we talking about so you've woken up and then you're trying to get back to sleep?
Yeah, so you have to have done some prep work beforehand.
Yeah.
You just need to make sure your room is in that state. So if you wake up, you give yourself the best chance of quickly falling back to sleep.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I like my room to be really dark. Are you...
A sanctuary?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
We'll find out when my girls get a bit older. And
it's a refuge from the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, most of us live in cities, so how easy is that? I don't know. Easier if you live in the boondock. Well, I probably live in the boondocks. That's still like a bit noisy, but it would be okay if you live, you know, like out in the country.
Be a challenge if you're like on South Road or something, or
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Any sort of main road or near a train line or yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got that. Anyway, here's what this person suggests. You want white noise is helpful. Okay? So if you're in a city, you want to turn your room into a sanctuary, white noise is helpful. A fan, she says, will work fine. Or you can try a white noise machine that includes nature sounds.
Yep.
I don't like how the answer to everything these days is a machine that will fix it.
That's it. I knew a bloke that couldn't get to sleep unless he had a fan, pedestal fan, about this, like probably a foot away from his face on maximum power.
Really?
And I wasn't ever... I always thought it was about the air circulation, but maybe it was the sound.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because what, did he even need that during winter?
I think he did. Yeah, he still used it.
Yeah, well, that's got to be white noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll get him on, we'll interview him.
He's asleep.
Earplugs, eye mask, they also work, so.
Yeah.
Look into it. Here's something else you could try. Deep breathing or relaxation exercises or soothing music. I don't know. I'm probably not going to do any of that in the middle of the night. Not sure. Anyone out there has a problem with a snoring partner, again, the answer is get a machine. The white noise will apparently help with that one as well. Here's one I think a lot would be guilty of that you should not do. Never, ever have an alarm clock facing you while you're trying to sleep.
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, from my experience, I don't know if this is what they're talking about, just the brightness of the digital readout.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I used to put like a t-shirt over it because it just, this was even not even facing me. It was just so bright into the room. Like there's this sort of fluorescent green across the room. So
I told you should never use that neon alarm clock. But you want to see what the time is, don't you? If you do wake up in the middle of the night,
yes,
you want to know what the time is. That is everyone's reflex, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Silly.
Here's what you should do to help yourself fall back to sleep in the middle of the night. Eliminate your after-dinner drink.
Oh.
Problem for you?
Like just a water or...
This person says that on nights where she had a few glasses of wine, she'd find herself staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m. She replaced the alcohol with chamomile tea and found that I was calmer and better able to sleep. Also woke up feeling less dehydrated and more fresh.
Really?
Oh, so yeah, don't get drunk every night, everybody. There's it.
So she's there drinking her 4 glasses of wine.
A
few with her phone on.
Yeah.
Is this the same woman?
I think it must be.
Yeah.
Just
has she got the tip there? Oh, don't play rock music. Don't play heavy metal music while you
Well, maybe she is a bit. Maybe she's sus. We need to check out her credentials. Because here's the next tip: stop smoking. I mean, no one's smoking anymore.
Well, yeah.
I know some people are, but I don't think that if you're a smoker, I don't think whatever marginal way it might help you fall back to sleep in the middle of the night, that's not going to be the reason you quit. I'm pretty sure. Final tip, bore yourself sleepy. So if you can't fall back to sleep after 20 minutes, then she says start trying to recite poems that you memorized as a kid or multiplication tables.
Yeah, it's a bit like the counting sheep, isn't it?
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I guess it sort of takes your mind off the fact you can't fall asleep. Like when you can't fall asleep and you're just thinking, I can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
And the harder you try to fall asleep, the worse it gets. I guess this just, you know, short circuits that thinking. And before you know it, any tricks you have for boring yourself to sleep?
I have tried counting. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, no, I'm not good at it, though. Like, I get to a certain time, I'm like, how many more numbers before I lose... It does make you bored and drowsy, but you're still...
4,600,700,000. I got a foolproof tip. Bore yourself back to sleep. I use it all the time in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Listen to our podcast.
Oh, come on. Now, you mentioned you're a young dad. So have you had nights where you just can't get back to sleep? Or?
To be honest, I think I'm actually pretty good at going back to sleep. Mm. I feel like just the waking up part is what does the damage.
Yes.
I like a solid night sleep. Even if they say you should aim for 8 hours, maybe 7 hours is okay. I feel like I would take six. If I can get six continuous. Solid, it's way better than, even if you end up with a total of 8, but it's divided into, you sleep 4 hours, you wake up, you sleep another 4, that's terrible. And so that's my main drama. But the actual going back to sleep, I think I've got a lot of this stuff in place, I think, because I'm not too bad at drifting back off. And as I said, listening to the podcast helps.
Part of being in the newsroom, occasionally you have to do shift work, and that messes with me totally, because it requires being into the newsroom at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah, and for me, I've found the earliest I can go to bed is 9:30, so that gives you 6 hours sleep. But there's pressure. Like, if you go to bed at 9:30, if I go to bed and fall asleep right now, I get 6. But the pressure of that and thinking the newsroom without me there doesn't operate if it's a one-man newsroom shift.
Mm.
So that keeps me awake.
That would mess with your head. Do you find it affects your mood?
Oh, absolutely. I go a bit crazy if I have to do it more than a couple of days in a row. I get delirious. Don't know what I'm doing.
Start road raging more than
usual. Even worse in summer. 9:30 is not that late in summer.
Yeah,
the
true.
Sun's not far gone down.
Yep.
There's things to do. You like to be up at night.
Yep.
Some tips there. But I reckon I'd love to hear other people's tips. I'm sure there's some more outlandish ones and that have worked in the past and could work for others.
Yeah, let us know. Find us on Facebook.